In 1 Kings chapter 8, I want us to read a portion here together, and then I will share with you what the Lord placed upon my heart. 1 Kings chapter 8, I want us to begin reading at verse 54. If you want to go home later and read that whole chapter, it's the first part is a long, beautiful prayer of King Solomon. But in chapter 8, verse 54, Solomon begins to speak to the people, and it begins in verse 54, we'll read through verse 61, and it says this: "Now when Solomon finished praying this prayer and making supplication to the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. He stood up and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, 'Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised.' Not one word of his promises which he gave by the hand of Moses his servant has failed. The Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. Let him neither leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to him, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, statutes, and judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And let these my words, with which I have made supplication before the Lord, be close to the Lord our God day and night, that he will maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the situation demands, so that all the people of earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. Let your hearts, therefore, be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments as at this day." And let's read verse 61 one more time. It says, "Let your hearts, therefore, be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments as at this day." I'm going to read it one more time from the New International Version. And it says this: "And may your hearts be fully committed to the Lord our God, to live by his decrees and obey his commands as at this time." And I want to speak with you just for a few moments this morning on being fully committed. Fully committed. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you would help me to share your heart with your people today. And I pray that, Lord, most importantly, that you would help me to relay what you placed on my heart to relay to the people. I pray your blessing upon this part of the service. We ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and I thank you for all that you will do through the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen and amen. This portion in 1 Kings chapter 8 is right on the heels of Solomon building a temple for the Lord. Solomon's temple has been built. It was originally the desire of his father David to build a temple for the Lord God Almighty, but David was not allowed to build God a house. The Lord would say that he was a man of blood, and so the privilege was given to his son Solomon. Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived, and during his reign as king, Israel experienced the greatest blessing that it ever had experienced pre-Solomon or even post-Solomon. The wealth and the prosperity, the popularity of Israel is really one that is in the history books. People from all around the world came to listen to Solomon. The scripture would even say that Solomon was the wisest man in all the earth at that time, and we can only imagine what it would have been like to have talked to Solomon. This portion of scripture is during a time when Solomon was still walking with the Lord. He was walking with the Lord intimately, and it is even evidenced in the prior verses, the prayer that he prayed at the dedication of the temple. The scripture will go on to say later on, especially in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, if you would want to read it later, 1 Chronicles, I should say, 1 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 1 through 10, In that portion, after Solomon prayed that prayer and they offered sacrifices to God, the Bible says that the glory of God came into his house in such a profound way that they were laid out on their faces and they could barely get up in the presence of Almighty God. The Shekinah glory of God was residing in the temple of God. Solomon would begin to speak to the people of the importance of serving the Lord fully committed. In the King James and my modern English version, it says, "Let your hearts therefore be perfect with the Lord." But the way that it's rendered, and from the original Hebrew, it could take on the element of commitment to the Lord. Being fully committed to God. So committed that our hearts are perfect towards the Lord. The New Living Translation says that, "And may you be completely faithful to the Lord our God." The English Standard says, "Let your heart therefore be wholly true to the Lord our God." The New American Standard, "Let your heart therefore be wholly devoted to the Lord." The King James, "Be perfect." And as we talk about commitment, Solomon is bringing out the importance of our commitment to the Lord. And we're living in a time and in a generation, sadly, where there is a lack of commitment, where there needs to be more commitment, where there is this statement that I am going to be committed to you. And I was reminded as I was contemplating and thinking about this truth of something that Dr. James Dobson had said. My wife and I were listening to something that he was talking about online, and then I later on began to search this out. But I want to read to you something that he talks about in regards to commitment as it applies to marriage. But as commitment applies to marriage, I want you to consider your commitment to the Lord in the same light. For you see, when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, in essence, we committed our lives to Him, didn't we? And a commitment is something that we will exercise when the going gets tough, when everything is going well, when you're happy, you're sad. When I put the ring on my wife's finger when we got married and she put the ring on mine, we said, "Till death do us part." Amen? And I'm telling you what, that these 20 years of marriage have been an interesting journey. It's been fun, but there have been times where it's not been easy. Sometimes it does get difficult. Not that she's difficult, you all understand what I'm saying. I'm probably the more difficult one, to be honest with you. But there are days when everything seems to be all high and on a high plane, but then there's just normal, regular, everyday days. It's not always a time away at the honeymoon. And this is what Dr. James Dobson said, and I want you to listen to this and think about it in light of our relationship to God, and then I will talk about it. In the early 1970s, and this is Dr. James Dobson, I'm quoting him verbatim. In the early 1970s, Gordon Lightfoot recorded a hit song entitled, "If You Could Read My Mind," and it contained this line in the song, "The feeling's gone, and I just can't get it back." Well, the words made some nice music, Dr. James Dobson says, but it revealed a serious misunderstanding of love. It reveals a serious misunderstanding of love. The fact is, love is not dependent upon our feelings and emotions. In a genuine love relationship, there are times of closeness and caring, but there are also times of distance and disinterest, and worst of all, there are times of apathy when a couple feels nothing at all. Emotions are very unstable. They're just ephemeral. That means lasting for a short time. They're ephemeral like that, and you can't build anything permanent on something so shaky. Talking about emotions. So where does the stability of marriage come from? How can we weather the vicissitudes, it's a big old word, that means the change in circumstances in the everyday life, Well, the key to a lifelong love, he states, is found in the commitment of the will. Let me say that again. The key to a lifelong love is found in the commitment of the will, which is like, talking about commitment, which is like the engine on a train. It'll keep you moving down the right track, but feelings are like the caboose being pulled along by the powerful engine at the other end. Once you make up your mind to have a successful marriage, no matter what, you'll no longer be shaken by the ebb and flow of emotions. And then he closes it out by saying, which end of the train is pulling your marriage relationship? When we enter into marriage, as we all know, well, not everyone knows, but some of you will, to our younger ones that are looking forward to that day, be in prayer that God will give you the right husband and the right wife that will cherish you and love you and treat you with respect all your days. But whenever there's the courting side of a relationship, whenever there's the dating stage, the two individuals can't help but look with longing to be together. The boyfriend is sitting next to his girlfriend, and boy, chills are running up and down his body just sitting so close to her. Just the mere touch just sends all kinds of sparks flying into the air. It's the dating stage. Just love to be around them. You find every reason to be around them. And whenever they don't tell you that they're not there, you even get upset. Where were you? I remember that. Anyways, that's beside the point. So that relationship begins to evolve, and you now say to the one that you are to marry, I want to marry you, and you put a ring on her finger, and now you're committed to a wedding day. And then comes that wedding day, and the honeymoon, and boy, it's just beautiful, and everything is going so well. And the emotions of such a time in the relationship, you would think it's going to be like that forever. But then that wedded couple begins to go into normal everyday life, don't they? And all the sparks and all the fire of that wedding night begin to wane because you begin to enter into regular work days, regular schedules. You're still two people that really don't know each other as well as you thought. And now you're starting to get to know each other. And for the first, they say the first year is one of the most trying years of a marriage. She's trying to change him into what she wants him to be. He's trying to change her into what he wants her to be. And boy, that's just a time of rubbing each other, isn't it? But the reality is this, is that you don't base your relationship to each other on your emotions. Because there are days when your emotions are going to be so happy, so loving, so good. But then emotions are fleeting. They don't last forever. Your relationship really boils down to a commitment to that other individual, to that spouse. I am committed to you that until death do us part, I am committed. You don't base your relationship on the fleeting emotions, the ebb and the flow of emotions. It's only on the caboose. It's the very last train cart on the train. It's going to be there. You're going to have emotions. There's going to be times of joy and pleasure, happiness, but there's also going to be times of sadness and all other kinds of emotions. But they are the caboose. It is commitment that is going to lead that train along the right path. Solomon told the children of Israel at this point, let your hearts therefore be perfect with the Lord your God. What are you saying, Pastor James? The New International Version, like I said before, says, let your hearts be fully committed to the Lord. Do you mean that there will be days when you don't feel the Lord as close to you as when you first got saved? Yes. And you don't even base your relationship with the Lord on your emotions. We walk by faith, not by sight. And I was recently listening to something Dr. James Dobson had mentioned. in regards to a young person who was struggling with his relationship with God. And he wrote in to Dr. James Dobson and said to him, "Why is it that whenever I go to a retreat with my young friends and we go to this youth convention and we're there so inspired to follow after God and we make this commitment to follow the Lord, I'm going to read my Bible every day, I'm going to pray every day, and we come away from that youth convention all fired up. The men go to a men's retreat, they come back all fired up, I'm going to serve the Lord. Women come back from their women's retreat, and I'm going to serve the Lord." And then, after a week of reading the Bible faithfully, all of a sudden you're not reading it like you had originally promised, and now everyday life has come, right? You see, it's there at that retreat that your emotions are set up on high, and you're riding on that wave of emotion. But then, after a while, that stage of emotions begins to wane. And you have everyday life. You don't even base your Christian experience on your emotions. You base it on a commitment to follow the Lord. And so in many ways, we can be walking with the Lord for sometimes for a long time or just for a little bit. But listen, when you first get saved, there's a lot of emotion. It's exciting to be following the Lord. The Word of God is so beautiful. You're so excited to read it. You're praying like you never prayed. But then your relationship is going to be just like your relationship with your husband or wife. You're going to have your everyday relationship with the Lord. And sometimes you're not going to feel as close to the Lord, but that doesn't mean your commitment has changed. Or His commitment to you. Amen. Let me tell you this. God is committed to you. He's not a man that He should lie. He's not going to leave when the going gets tough. If He promised to be with you until the end of the age, as the Scripture says, He's going to be with you. Amen. So that means despite how you may feel in your emotions, God is for you. He's not against you. And that's how we must understand our walk with the Lord. Our walk with the Lord is one of commitment. And we must be fully committed to the Lord. And as we're fully committed, then it doesn't matter how we feel. It doesn't matter when everything seems to be going our way or everything seems to be maybe not even feeling like anything is happening. It doesn't feel like I'm growing. Everybody else seems to be growing. Everybody else seems to be talking with the Lord, not me. It doesn't matter. You are committed to Him. Sometimes, to be honest with you, it's in those silent times that there's more work being done in you, whether you realize it or not. But we must be committed. We base our relationship not on the emotions that are fleeting. We base our relationship with God in the same commitment as a husband does to his wife and vice versa. Amen? And there's going to come times when there is joy. There's going to be times when it's going to be exciting. Refreshment comes. Amen? But whether it comes or not, you're committed. I'm committed. Amen? And our generation, our world today needs commitment. A commitment to one another. A commitment to God. A commitment that says, I'm going to be committed to you. And when there is commitment, then there's not going to be, whether it's in a marriage, you're not going to be looking to the left or to the right. Your eyes are fixed upon your wife or your husband. Amen? You're committed to her. You're committed to him. That means that there is no one else that can come in the middle. And if anything was to try, your commitment to that individual is going to eradicate that immediately. The same way our commitment to the Lord, when we're committed to Him, anything tries to come and pull us away from our relationship with God, we will get rid of it. I'm committed to Him. And so, we must understand that commitment to the Lord is in many ways the same. We don't walk with the Lord according to feelings. Maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you haven't felt Jesus' presence maybe like you did a week ago, or a month ago, or years ago. That doesn't mean that He's away. The Bible has promised that He's with you always. He's there. Your emotions may have changed, but that doesn't mean God has. So if you feel him or not, he's with you. Amen? God is with you and he loves you. And it's not based upon feelings, it's not emotions. God is going to be with you as he promised always. And so remember, emotions are only the caboose. They're enjoyable. It's fun when you're happy and when all these things are going well. Amen? But your relationship with God is based on commitment, not emotions. Think about how awful it would be if it was based on emotions. If your relationship with God was truly based on emotions and not commitment, then that would mean that the church has to just make people happy all the time, right? That means that we've always got to be tickling them. We've always got to be making them happy. I mean, and then whenever that tickle isn't there, then all of a sudden, they're not in church anymore because it's based on fleeting things. But your commitment to God is going to make you come in and out that door every Sunday. Your commitment to God is going to cause you to read the Bible even when it seems like it's not opening up to you, but you're reading God's word anyways. Amen? Your commitment to God is going to be what, when you're in prayer and you're praying and it doesn't seem like, whoa, I don't feel God's presence, but you still pray anyways. Amen? Amen. Amen. I mean, I'm telling you what, when me and Adelina first got together and we would get together, I mean, I'd feel all these goosebumps. But now I'll go sit by her and I might not feel the same goosebumps, but I know she's with me and I'm glad she's there. We mature, we grow. And I'm telling you what, I love her now more than I ever did. But at the same time, it's not based on the emotion of it, but on the reality that we have been through a lot together. Amen? And that's the way it needs to be with the Lord. God is going to be with you through a lot. And you'll be able to look to him as a friend that sticks closer than a brother. As someone that has been there when it felt like it or not. And it's going to develop a testimony in all of us because God is going to be faithful to you. He is committed to you. And we've got to respond the same. Commitment. Amen? Commitment. Not emotions. Commitment. And so I just wanted to talk to you about that today, being fully committed. Let's stand.